Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, children of God. This is Pastor Landis Fisher, Straight Gate Ministries and St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. We thank God for you. We're so happy that you have decided to be here with us today and join us for this worship in the Lord. Amen. I was just thinking one of the best things that I can say that I am is that I am a child of God. Amen. Amen. So we know that we love God, and the great thing, an awesome thing that blows my mind is that He loves me. Amen. And He loves you. Amen. So we want to go right ahead here and move forward with a word from the Lord, but we'd also like to invite you to pray with us. We know a lot of people with birthdays out there. I noticed, want to say happy birthday to all of you. Thank God for all of those who called in through the week for prayer, and we prayed for you, and we've gotten some praise reports that have just been like way off the chain. So we want to say hallelujah to God for giving us the ability to have a praise report. Amen. From those who called and had answered prayer throughout the week. Amen. We invite you others who have prayer needs, think about sending us a message if there's something you'd like us to unite with you in prayer about. Amen. Because we know that prayer is a wonderful privilege that God has given us. Songwriters say, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. So prayer is the language of the saved. Amen. And we pray to God. We call out to the Almighty, our Father, who is able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. Amen. So we thank God for that privilege. And remember to exercise your privilege of prayer every day. And we're going to talk about that today in our lesson. So we want to go right ahead to conserve time. We have a good topic today, and those of you who are online, you already have our notes or you've seen a preview of the lesson. So we're going to go ahead now and pray our way in and dig into this and ask God's blessings upon His word today. Amen. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless your name today, Father. We give you praise. We exalt you, O God, in the very highest, Father. We thank you for being God all by yourself, and that you have created all these things, Lord God, and gave it to man in order that we might rejoice in you. And so, Father, I just ask you right now in the name of Jesus to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord God, many have come today just to hear a word from you from on high. And so, Father, we ask you to feed us today, oh God, as we get into your righteous word. Father, we pray for healing mercies upon those who need healing. We pray for grace for everybody, Lord God. We all need your grace. We can't do anything without it. And so, Father, we ask you to bless some people today that are listening that need understanding, Lord God. You said to go and teach them the gospel. And so, Father, we are just prepared today to share that good news that you so loved them. You gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish. Father, bless your word today as it goes forth. Bless the lesson that we have prepare here today, Lord God, in order that it might feed the souls of many. Father, we come asking for the forgiveness of all sin, that you would cover us from every unrighteous thought, every unrighteous word, every unrighteous deed. And Father, we pray for strength on the other hand, Lord, that you would build us up and give us a higher resistance to the things that are not pleasing in your sight. And Father, be with us right now, Father. Bless marriages and families and the people who are hurting, Lord God, for going through the process of grief. Lord, help all of them to get the peace they need, because we know that you are the God of peace. And so, Father, give them that peace that passeth all understanding. And we thank you for the privilege, Lord God, and the authority that you've given to your children. We ask you to bless the word as it goes forth. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. All the saints out there say it together. Amen, 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 hallelujah. Amen. We do have a good word from the Lord today, and we want to thank God for letting us all be here today. And we're going to go ahead and get in here. Let me put in with just some thoughts that I want you to think about here as we open the word. You can find our notes. If you don't have them, you can open a browser and go to teachingbible.org, and you'll find the notes are usually the first message on the page. And so you can look for the one today that says walking life within the spirit of a child. Walking life within the spirit of a child. Amen. That's what was impressed upon my spirit to talk with you about today. And we want to go on and understand what is meant by this. It was a spiritual thing that God put in my mind, and I said, let me talk about that to the people, because it blasts me, the very thought of it. And this is something I want you to think about. Okay, and a most scientific fact that is extremely obvious. Now, this is very obvious, and it's scientific, that a human being, for a human being to exist in the world, is that you must be born. That's how you come into this world. You have to be born. And so we want to see and understand what that means. Now, we got scientists who call themselves scientists who tell us we got here some other kind of way, through some kind of an accident that happened and turned into some kind of an evolution from where man went from the zoo to you. And well, you know what? We just reject that entirely. So I want you to understand that God is the God who is the Father of all creation. And he gives us the story in great detail and with much simplicity, as profound as it is, how we get here. And the only scientific thing is that we can see that, and I'm going to ask you this too, and some of you have heard the question before, do you know anybody who was not born? And my answer is no. I have never seen a person that was not born. Every person I know had to be born. Jesus told Nicodemus this. He said in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So he talked about a second birth other than that first birth that allows you to be a human being existing in the world. All the human beings I know existing in the world were all born. I don't know anybody that came any other way. And so if you check science, check your neighbors, check your friends, check your relatives, you will agree all people are born. And that's the only thing that makes sense. And so anything else is utterly ridiculous. And so I want you to understand, and it's not scientific, because, you know, for something to be scientific, it must be proven. And so I don't know of any other way that anyone ever came except by birth. And so being born in the flesh is a wonderful thing. It's God's privilege that he blessed you with. We are the succession of many generations, and those generations will continue. That's why somebody wrote a song, from generation to generation, we worship you, because we worship God, the ones who adhere to the truth and hold on to the sound scientific word that God has given. His word is the most sound science that there has ever been. You'll learn to trust that, and when you do, it'll give you peace of mind, brothers and sisters. We want you to know, trusting God with all your heart, as we have mentioned in previous lessons, the Proverbs writer Solomon, most wise man in the world, said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So that's what we want to do. We want to teach you to order my steps in the word. Oh, Lord God, teach me how to understand your word. You have adopted me into your family by grace through faith in your son, and I need to learn from you. So we're going to talk about that subject in a little bit more detail. So I want you to understand that being born in the flesh is biologically, scientifically, that we were created by God as a means of perpetuating humanity to fulfill a positive command given by God to Adam to be fruitful and multiply. He told Adam, be fruitful and multiply, after he had made everything a perfect situation, a flawless biotope, if you will, for Adam to exist in. And he told him, be fruitful and multiply. And that was why Adam was yet the only man who was on the world. God spoke that to Adam. And we get these accounts in the book of Genesis where he tells us how things came about. Now, you say, okay, preacher, that's pretty fundamental. We understand that. We believe that. And I hope that some of you will challenge what you think about that and start to trust God and believe his word. Because the big problem that man had, being children born of God, even though Adam was not born, he's the only one I can say I know who was not born, according to the biblical record. The Bible says he was created from the dust of the ground, but the scripture also says in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So Adam is the only one I know of who was not born, and I can testify to that by the word of God. And so the fact is, everyone else after that, as a result of biology, which God also designed and created, was born. And we had to be born. And the reason we know this, let's put some meat on that. We want to go to the book of Genesis, we'll see that as we examine the life of Adam, we see that in the creation, God created. He created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. And then he said, let us make man after our image. At this point, everything is sinless and flawless. There is no flaw. There is no sin in the Genesis narrative from chapter 1 all the way on up to chapter 2. All the way up to chapter 2, no sin. There's no problems in the world yet because everything is perfect. But one thing that we see that the scripture says was imperfect after the immediate creation, and it doesn't mean there was any flaw. God is just sharing with us through the Holy Spirit what he did about having given Adam a command and how he took care of the situation. And he said it's not good. First of all, when God gave man a command, he said that he placed him in the garden which he had prepared, the Garden of Eden, and he told him to go in and of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. He commanded the man, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden. Then he said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat, for the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And so that one commandment, which was a negative commandment, something man should not do, and we say that in contrast to the positive commandment that you shall, he commanded the man that you may eat of every tree of the garden. See that? So that's a positive command. He commanded him to eat everything else. And then he gave him one negative command, do not eat of this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day, he also gave him the warning of judgment. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And so right there, we have the whole setup of the fact that men are born, basically, in that whole system. Because he said, but the next thing he says after that, let me keep on with this train of thought. In verse 18, he says that it is not good that the man should be alone, you see, because it was that Adam that he created first and then Eve, and we have that witness all throughout the scripture. So he goes on to say here, Genesis 2 and verse 18 says that, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him, or helper suitable for him, is how some translations render that. And it says, out of the ground the Lord God made, formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam, he says, and Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the woman and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Amen. So we see there that God had a specific pattern that he created, and he did this for the purpose I'd like to inject, that man would not be alone, because that's the only thing that was not good at that point in the creation, that it was not good that the man should be alone. So what did he do? He made a woman so that she would be able to deal with the problem by bearing children. So bearing children, that's where the whole big thing that brought me to this point that I wanted to share with you, walking life within the spirit of a child. Every one of us is a child of some sort. We came from a set of parents. Even though our parents may not be with us today, we are still children of other parents. And even ourselves, we have children. Our children are born to us, some of us. And those of you of whom that is true, you have children. And our purpose is to teach and educate the children to become men and women. And really, the purpose of all things is to give glory to God. That's why 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So everything should be to the glory of God. You should desire to glory, give God glory in everything that you do, because that is the purpose of life. So what I want you to see from this, now you say, Pastor, okay, I got that, I understand that. Well, get with me here now. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Follow my train of thought. Being born in the flesh is that biological scientific event created by God as a means of perpetuating humanity to fulfill a positive command given by God to Adam to be fruitful and multiply. And it's also the answer to the statement made by God in Genesis 2:17 after having given Adam his first negative command. Understand that. That was the only negative command. You have one thing I forbid you from, Adam, and that's eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know what happened there. We know that the serpent comes in chapter 3, and he defiles Eve's understanding. He worked on her to get her to disbelieve her husband, and also, therefore, to disbelieve God. And so, since she did that and she transgressed, Adam also transgressed willfully. So the Bible said that it's man who is the one that is responsible for the problem, the curse of sin that's in the world, not the woman, even though the serpent deceived Eve and she ate. And that brought a system of death into the world, but it was not imputed until Adam, who was in charge, was the one who actually caused the whole human family to fall into sin. And so let's talk about that now. How do we get out of that mess? That's a big mess, and it's been a mess ever since, that every man, woman, boy, and girl has been born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That's what the psalmist writes in Psalms 51, a psalm of David. I want to admonish all of you today. Take electronic notes, take pencil notes if you might, and write these verses down so you can meditate on them and get something more thorough as you study this throughout the rest of this week. Because what I would like you to understand today is walking life within the spirit of a child. All of us are children. That's how we get here. I want to let you know something, beloved. Whoever you are, God loves you exactly the way you are. And I say that, and sometimes I get criticized about it. They say, oh, Pastor, you're telling people, oh, they can be however they are. But the fact is, I'm not telling you that. God said, he so loved the world. That means that's blanket grace. I like to call it blanket grace. He blankets the whole world with grace. Why? Because he wants to give the whole world salvation. And why? Because he always loved you. And if there's a problem right there in that whole system, it's not on his end, because his grace is available to everyone, and his grace is sufficient for you. In other words, God's mercy, kindness, and love will forgive you of anything you're dealing with. And when you are born again, which is where I'm trying to get you to see, based on the book of John, chapter 3, where Jesus speaks to the rabbi Nicodemus and tells him that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. That means to be born from above. God wants you to be born again from above. He wants you to understand the truth, accept his grace, and he will give you the gift of grace, which is available to you. That's why I like to preach grace, because grace is the doorway into the change in your whole life. When you are born again, you will learn what it means to walk life in the spirit of a child. You will be a new child, no matter how old you are. This has nothing to do with your age. This has to do with your faith. Do you trust God to give you a new way to live your life, a new way to walk? Now, the term walking is used throughout the scripture in a number of ways. It doesn't only refer to us taking step by step, which we have to learn how to walk. Have you ever thought about that? Nobody comes in the world knowing how to walk. You come in and you cannot walk. You have to learn. You come from a child and you start eventually to crawl, and then eventually you stand up, and then eventually you take a few steps. So walking is a thing we have always had to learn, whether it were physical, and certainly if it's spiritual. So you and I need to learn to walk. Do a search on the word walk. Write that on your notepad, and you'll find out how it's used. It's not only used to talk about moving about on the earth, taking one step after another, but it's also used to talk about our relationship with Almighty God. And so your walk is very important. The way you walk in the world is the way you live. It's the way you present your self to God. It's the way you present yourself to man. It has to do with relationship between God and man, and it has to do with the way you live your life, the choices you make, the things you do, the places you go. It has to do with every matter of life. And so walking life within the spirit of a child is what I want to talk about. I'm trying to streamline our thoughts now. How do you live your life every day? Do you acknowledge in everything you do that God is your Father? If you've been saved, if you're not saved, we want to recommend right now, trust in God's only begotten Son. God only had one Son, and His name is Jesus, that was born into the world, and He came with no sin. That's the big news. And that goes all the way from the time of Adam's fall up to the time of Christ. Every person that was born of a woman was born in sin. God broke that sin cycle by giving His Son birth, who was existed with Him from everlasting to everlasting. That's what it says in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In other words, speaking about Christ, and all things were made by Him, and without Him there was not made anything that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So God's child, Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was promised all the way from eternity past, and it was a conversation between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, that we will make man in our image, and that's what we saw in Genesis. Then we see the image of God defiled by sin and by the curse that came as a result of sin. Now, the curse was God said, the day you eat, you shall surely die. See? And so the sentence of death is the penalty for sin in one sense, and so that's been going on. No one will deny that. And you know what? We cling to life so much that we don't think about the fact that the wages for sin is death, and that means all of us have an appointment with death unless God intervenes with His Son Jesus, who broke that cycle of sin. Now, this is why it's important to understand the person and the work of Jesus Christ, because God already knew before anything was ever created. And you say, Pastor, how do you know He knew before everything created? Because in Ephesians, verses like this, chapter 1, verse 4, says that He chose us, those who believe in Christ, in Him, from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. Verses like Romans 8, 28 says, for we know that God works all things together for good for those who love God and those who are the called according to His purpose. That says that you love God and at some point you were called by God. According to His purpose. He has a purpose for you. He has designed every single one of us for a purpose. You have a purpose in your life. You know, the thing that's kind of interesting to me, sometimes we don't know what the purpose is, and we spend a lot of time doing a lot of stuff, and we don't even really understand, what is my purpose? How should I walk in this world? What did God create me for? Who am I in God? Who am I in the world? And since we are children of God, I want to let you know, God wants you to know what your purpose is, what your focus in life is. He wants to give you instruction, and He decides to do it this way by teaching and through His Word. You know what? This is so important, saints. I want you to know God loves you. You have a purpose. Somebody's out there now struggling in their mind with, what is my purpose? What should I be doing? God wants to help with that. So this is why this message was given to me today, walking life within the spirit of a child. Realize this, just as it is with our children. Some of us have had bad experiences. Some of us had parents that may not have loved us the way we thought, or we may never even know who our parents were physically sometimes. And I know there's a lot of bad stories out there. All of that is what I would call the casualties of sin. Because people should love their children, but so many times, as we see today, people do not love their children. And so they do not train them in all of that. And the scripture is a book of understanding that God has written so that we learn how to teach a child, bring them up in the world. But no matter what your case is, God had a reason why you're here. No matter what happened with your parents, no matter how your relationship with them was or is, God loved you and He allowed you to be here, and He chose you to be here. God was involved with the making of who you are in the womb, the scripture says, that while you were in the womb, He said he made you fearfully and wonderfully, and He designed you to be a man or woman for his purposes. So start to think about that, and that'll help you if you have a painful relationship with a mother, father, or whoever may have raised you. Even if you're an orphan and you don't know who your parents are, whatever your situation is, I want to call you today to trust God and understand that he allowed you to be here, and you are not a mistake or any kind of thing. Somebody may have said, and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you to be who you are, and he wants you to find out more about that. And he doesn't just stamp it in our brain, you see. And some of us have a little less trouble figuring out who we are and what are we supposed to be doing than others. Some of us, it's such a confusing thing because the devil, the world, and the flesh try to confuse the whole issue. So I want you to understand today, walking life within the spirit of a child. Think about that. That sounds strange. When I heard that, because I believe it was God who put it in my mind, walking life within the spirit of a child. Okay, so I'll put it down. And I wrote it down immediately, stopped what I was doing. Then I started to research the word to find out, what does this mean and how do you want people to understand this? So let's take a look here now. I'm going to show you a verse in the Old Testament. I want to show you something from Jeremiah to help put some scripture to what we're talking about, to help you understand who you are and find out what your purpose is and how God wants you to walk in life within the spirit of a child. Understand that, and we were trying to understand that. So let's look at Jeremiah chapter number 1. And speaking of Jeremiah, my friend Jeremiah, my son in the faith, happy birthday to you. Today is his birthday. And some of you others, I read about so many, I should never say that because now people be mad because I didn't mention their birthday. But I want to say that to him because he's a special person to me, too. He's a child of God. He's in the Word, and God is directing his steps, and he's been a member of our church. So I have to give him a shout out right here. But in either case, Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is Jeremiah the prophet. He's writing just before Jerusalem is taken captive into Babylon. And he has already given news. He's going to be the one who gives news to the king that you're about to be taken into captivity because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God. So it's critical, but he got in trouble over that. So his purpose was pretty deep. Let's read this. Jeremiah 1:4, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, or in the womb, some translations say, I knew thee. Look at that. He says, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. See that? And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, this is Jeremiah's response, verse 6, Lord God, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am but a child. He said, you know what, I can't speak for you. You're Almighty God. I'm just a child. He was looking at who he was, the stuff he had been through, how he was raised. He was looking at all that, and he's thinking about this big proposition that you're making to me to speak to the world and speak to, and you're going to see that as we go. And he said, who do you think I am, is what he's saying. He didn't think much of himself is what it was. He didn't understand. Almighty God knows who you are. Almighty God is determined who you will be. He is determined what you will do. He's going to give you power and energy to do everything he has made you in the womb to do. So we have to learn how to walk in the spirit of a child, to be a child of God. How do I walk within his spirit and not walk by my flesh? And that's what we'll talk about that later in Romans 8. We want to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says a lot about how we walk. See, and Jeremiah at this time, when he gets the news from God, like it may be fearful to you today when I see it, God made you for a purpose. He made you and he ordained you and he formed you in your mother's womb fearfully and wonderfully to be the man or woman of God he is calling you to be. If you haven't accepted him, realize he gave his son, Jesus the Christ, in order to make your account straight so you don't have to worry about the sin issue. Now, I mentioned that earlier, and I want to digress here again just for a minute. You were made understanding already from the foundation of the world that God was going to redeem you no matter where you are. In other words, I'm going to repossess you, like we talked about last week, out of the fallenness of Adam, out of the fallenness of the sin that rippled down from Adam that gets worse and worse and worse every day, that you were born in it, and I understand your defect and all of that, but even when I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I ordained you. See, I have a purpose for you. My purpose is going to go on. Adam's sin will not prevail over it. And so God says that his grace is sufficient for you because his power is perfected in our weakness. But you know what? We have a problem with the idea of weakness, just like Jeremiah did. Lord, you're calling me to preach to the nations, to the kingdoms, to the king, and the most righteous people, not the righteous, let's say the people with the most power and authority on earth. And you want me to speak to them, and I'm just a child? I don't know a lot of stuff, you know? He professed that there's a weakness within my own mind. I'm not the one that you need because I don't think I'm equipped. You ever feel like that? You don't think you're equipped to do something? You know what? God has equipped you. That's what the answer is here that Jeremiah gets as he contemplates what God has given him to do. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before you came out, in other words, you were in there for that whole 9 months, but before you were birthed into the world, I sanctified you. To be sanctified by God means that you are set apart for his purposes. You become his child when you are born again. You know what you have to, in order to be born again, you first must be born, period, in the flesh. See? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's why Jesus said that to Nicodemus. Don't marvel, don't let this blow your mind, that you must be born again from above. See, so Jeremiah is having trouble understanding the great magnitude of what God gave him to do. And he says, hey, I'm but a child. Now, he's not like 6 or 7 years old here in this text. He is an adult, but he knows that he's just a child in understanding. He understands, okay, I'm in the world and all of that, and I've never learned to do what the kind of stuff you're saying that I can do. But the fact is, God wants to instruct you and teach you, just like he did Jeremiah. So God gives him some reinforcement here. He says, but the Lord said unto me, verse 7, Jeremiah 1, 7, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whomsoever and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now, right there's some revelation for me and you. He says, you're going to go. Look at this once again now. God says to Jeremiah, say not that I am a child. In other words, don't depend on your flesh. Because that's who you are now. And in your own mind, in the flesh, you said, I can't do it. I'm not equipped. So don't say that. He says, don't say that I am but a child. He says, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So in other words, you're going to have a new birth. Now the Spirit of God will be in you, in your mind, in your processes of thought. He will direct your mind. He will direct your steps. He will set you up to answer whatever you have to deal with in the course of doing what I'm sending you to do. Isn't that great? Think about it. God says, I have a purpose for you, and I'm going to speak to you on the fly, if you will, as you go about your life. I'm going to be within you, and you're going to be a new child. You're a child now of mine. You've been born again in the Spirit of God, and I'm going to speak through you my word, the word of God. See, as you are going, I'm going to be there with you, and that's the reason why I want you to learn how to be walking light within the spirit of a child. You are a new child, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God says, I got a new way for you to walk. Got a new way for you to talk. I'm going to teach you on the fly as you go. I will be with you in your mind, establishing your thoughts and your goings forth. And I will give you what you need in due season. See that? So God is online, if you will. We think online is new. No, God say, I've been online a long time. I get in your spirit. I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to send you where I want you to go. And when you open your mouth, you're going to speak my word, and people will be blessed. They will understand my authority, my rule, and my gain in the world, and my purpose. You see, and I'm going to do that through you. So God has always intervened in the lives of fallen people in order to give them instruction in due season so that they can understand what I need to do right now at this particular time. So you know what we want to do is learn walking life within the spirit of a child. We're children of God. That childlike spirit God gives you. And we're going to talk about that in a little more detail. So Jeremiah is getting this revelation here from God. He says, do not be afraid of their faces. You know, sometimes when you say the truth of God, I've had some of the most ugliest looks I've ever seen preaching in a prison or in a shelter. When you say something that offends a person, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, I just want you to know what God said. But sometimes people look at you like, oh boy, they have some terrible looks. And he said, when you say what I'm saying, people are not going to look so pretty because, you know why? They're still in the spirit of the flesh, which is the child they were brought up to where they are in life, in the spirit of the flesh, only knowing the flesh, not ever being born again of the spirit of God. And what you're saying may sound like a foreign language to a person who doesn't understand it, because they cannot understand it because they have not been born again. And so I want you to see this today, but think about this all the time. And you hear me say it, and I've been trying to prime you for this in the last few lessons. That's why you have to understand when people don't choose God, we don't judge them. You know why? Because God does not judge them. So who would I be to step in and judge a person struggling in sin? You see, I'm not the one. I'm not the judge. You know what I would rather do? I'd rather tell them about the grace of God that says that I will be with you and I will forgive you. God thought it was so serious, he sent his son Jesus to the cross to pay the debt for it. And he did it before, he had planned it before the foundation of the world. And I knew I was going to love on you like this because I knew there would be a problem of sin in your life. And I knew that you will need help. You will not be able to fix it. If you're struggling with any sin, and even folks who are saved have sin. I'm not trying to tell you folks who are saved don't have sin. So we have it too. So for that same reason, we need to be compassionate and merciful toward other people that we see in a situation of sin. Look at them the way God does. Learn to live your life walking within the spirit of a child. I'm the child of God. I want to see other people the way God sees them. They may look like a destitute, afflicted, drunkard or whatever they may be. They may be stuck in some kind of a serious sin situation, but I can't evaluate you on the basis of that. You know why? Because I've been born again, and I see it the way God sees it. God sees you as somebody who needs to be born again. If you're not born again, you need it, and he sees that you need it, and he will give people words to speak to you to tell you that he loves you, which is what I like to do, and I get criticized for it a lot of times because people say, oh, Pastor, you're telling people they can do anything. No, I'm not. I'm not dealing with that. I'm walking within the spirit of a child. God has made me a child of God. I want to let other people know he loves you. It's not like that I'm so special, the reason he chose me. He chose me before I was born to speak to you, to tell you the good news that he loves you just like you are. Whatever you're dealing with, I can't fix it. You know who can? God can. You know what? He loves you so much. He gave Jesus his son to be crucified on a tree to show you the totally that I understand the injustice of man. I understand that man does not really even know God, doesn't really seek after God. Read Romans 3. Put that on your notepad. And you'll find out that the Bible says there's none righteous. There's not even one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. There's no one righteous, not even one, the Bible says. So he makes that clear. But the ones who are born again can see what God is doing. And you can skip over trying to judge somebody. You know what? I'm not here to judge. I'm here to preach. I'm here to tell people God loves you just like you are, and the things you're struggling with, he has the solution to break those chains from you. He did. He loved you so much and was so invested into you getting right and getting saved that he allowed his son to be crucified on the tree, the only son that he had. See, he sacrificed his own son. But Paul, writing in the book of Romans, says that he who spared not his own son, how shall he not also freely give us all things? See that? He didn't even spare his own son. Jesus, the only one that walked on earth totally pure, without a fault, without a blemish, without a spot, without a sin, from the womb to the cross. See that? He sacrificed his own son for you and for me so that we can know that we have a right to the tree of life in order for us to be born again of the Spirit of God. And so, and you know why you're born again? I'm going to give you some reason today. And, of course, God will specify to you the reason why you have been born. Once you've been born again, you can count on him to fill in your mind all the blanks and the stuff that you need to know. Don't expect a big inrush with, boom, suddenly I know everything. I download it all from God. Now I have everything together. No, it doesn't work like that. It's a walk, step by step, by step, day by day. Night by night, year by year, you will grow in the truth. See, that's what we were talking about on Wednesday. Being a spiritual babe in Christ means God accepts you just like you are right now. See, you don't have to go and try to reinvent the wheel and trying to think I can suck everything in. That was a problem I had when I first got saved. I thought, oh, great God, how can you be saving me? And I know I'm a wretch, and I got issues, you know? And the fact is, you got to understand, I love you, and I know all about your issues. I know all about everything you're struggling with. I know all about your sin. See, you can't do any sin that I don't know about. And I love you anyway. So that's the reason why I preach grace. And let's say this, that God wants you to repent. That means change your mind about the way you were when you were born as a child from however many years ago that was up till now, even if it's five. If you're five today, you can be saved. God loves you. If you're 15 today, you can be saved. God loves you. He gave Jesus for you. If you're 55 today, you can be saved. Doesn't make any difference what number it is as far as your salvation. You can be saved. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to grow in Christ. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to receive his love and his grace, and he will do the rest. What we'll do in the church, we'll instruct you. That's why he told the church that all power is given to me, Matthew 28:18. In heaven and earth, there is no more power anywhere in heaven or earth that has not been given to Christ. See, all power, Matthew 28:18 says, is given to me in heaven and earth. You know why? Because he defeated the grave. He defeated the devil. He defeated the prince of darkness. He washed away the stain of sin with his own blood. And he did all of that for me and you to show you that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God wants you to know that. And now he told his disciples, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach. See that? So he knows we don't know what to do. And he accepts you anyway, even though you don't know what to do. You don't even know who you are in Christ yet. You're going to learn. Just keep on studying. Keep on praying. Seek his face. If you delight yourself also in the Lord, the Bible says he will give you the desires of your heart. He'll help define things in your life so that you know about his love for you and his relationship with you. He'll open his word so you can see stuff in his word you never saw before. Happens to me all the time, every day. Every time I study, boom, something hits me. Boy, you didn't know that before. And new information comes from God. He keeps you constantly learning, and you're going to grow. So let's get back to Jeremiah here real quick. He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. So whatever you got to go through, God says, I'm going through it with you. And this is, I'm with you to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And then he goes in verse 9, Jeremiah 1:9. Then the Lord said, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. That's one benefit of being a child of God, is God is going to put his word in your mouth so that you can speak the word of God. Now, let me tell you something about the word of God here real quick. You probably know this, but God's word is comprehensive. It's amazing how everything God wants for time and eternity has been expressed in one book, his word, the Holy Bible. And it cannot be altered. Jesus said the scripture cannot be broken. He said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. In other words, God has given us a complete story of the whole future, and not only the future, but the creation on clear into the new heavens and the new earth is in his word. If we could just think about that and learn to walk in the spirit of Christ, who walked in the word his whole life, and he was the living word, and went to the cross in order to give you the message of the gospel that I love you like you are, and I want to teach you, I want to bring you on board to be a student of mine. See? And you are his student. And when we call you to discipleship, it's because God loves you and he wants you to learn his word. It's through his word that we get cleansed and sanctified. That's why it says that he chose to cleanse and sanctify us by the washing with water, by the word. The word is like a cleanser. It's going to change my way of thinking and expose to me God's way of thinking. And it's going to be a lamp to my feet, like the psalmist said, and a light unto my path. He's going to show me how to walk in this world. And so walking life, that means everything in your life, you want to bring it unto to subjection to the word of God, the precepts of God, and God will guide you and lead you, just like a lamp onto your feet in a dark path and a light. He'll show you how to go right through the darkness of this present world into being what and who he wants you to be, just as he did Jeremiah. Going on back there, Jeremiah, one more verse here in chapter 1, verse 10. See, he says, I have This day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, and destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. That's what we're doing. We're taking down, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he says there, casting down imaginations and every lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So that's where we are. We're bringing our own thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, God will teach us as we walk life within the spirit of a child how to obey him. See, you got to learn. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we don't want to know, truth be told. But God's spirit, once you accept the gospel that God loves you and has given Jesus for you, you will be a new creature. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So it is a process, beloved. Understand that. Get started, though, right now. Don't wait another second. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior and believe that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says when you believe Christ, trust him as your personal Savior, believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So it's in that resurrection power of Jesus being able to get up out that grave, because the death that he died was not for himself, because he had committed no sin, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. He did that for you, beloved, and he did it for me. And it's the only way any human being that was born of a woman, which is all of us, can be saved. We need to be born again from above by the Spirit of God. And if we set our minds on things above, that's what Paul told the Colossians, not on things on the earth. He says, for you have died. That old life is dead. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Think about that. Colossians 3. Your new life has been hidden with Christ. In other words, it is a mystery. Your friends and your neighbors won't understand it. They won't see it unless they're saved. You know what? People who are not saved don't understand people who are saved. The difference is people who are saved should understand people who are lost. You know why? Because we were lost at one time. We should be the most merciful, the most forgiving, and the kindest people to everyone of anyone on earth. Why? Because we're walking life in the spirit of a child. What child? A child Jesus, who was the Son of God, who became the man Jesus. He grew in the world from birth to an adult and was crucified at the age of 33 and a half. After having done no sin and no deceit in his mouth, only spoke the truth his entire life. And God ordained Messiah, the Moshiach Nagi, the Hebrew says, Messiah the Prince, to be born into the world in order to bear the sins of many, as it says in Isaiah 53. And he was there to bear your sin and mine. I say hallelujah. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for bearing my sin. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit, who will be given to you, everyone who believes. If you believe Jesus, that's what it means to be born again. When you trust Christ, believe God raised him from the dead, the Spirit of God will fill you and he will indwell you. He will be in you to lead you and guide you to all truth. And so that's what you need to understand. Now, I got one more thing. My time's getting away. I tell you, we're going to have to continue this at the Bible study. There's so much here. I just got loaded with this as I was cutting my grass, actually, just the other day. It hit my mind that these are the things you want to preach this weekend. So I want you to understand, just as we of necessity had to be born as a child to exist, no one exists any other way. Don't buy the hogwash of evolution. Why don't people evolve today? I'd like to know. I've never seen a monkey turn into a man. Never in life. Don't expect to. Because you know why? It cannot happen. Why not? Because it never did happen. And that's the only thing that you need to know to debunk that lie. There's so many things that just are a point-blank lie. Science has no explanation for it. They only want to eliminate God. That's the real problem, because they did not want to retain God in their thoughts. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image. And read that in Romans chapter 1. It says there in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's what we have today. And these are people in great positions. They've been to the best schools and have degrees, but yet you don't even know who God is. You need to repent of that evil and get back to the truth, God's holy word. He's told the whole story, and it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away. So we need to understand that. So I want you to see that just as of necessity we had to be born as a child to exist, We must be born again of the Spirit of God in order to be born again into the actual family of God. Think about that. If you're born again, you're in the actual family of God by faith in the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, Jesus. That's the only way to get in. We recommend that for all of you. If you're listening to me today and you haven't chosen Jesus, do it right now. Tell God right now, I repent of my sin. I confess my faults. I heard about your Son, the good news. I want to be forgiven. I want to be forgiven right now. And I want to be your child so I can walk life in the spirit of the child Jesus, who was the only one who satisfied you. Pray that to God right now. Ask him to save you right now. You know what? He will do it. He wants you to be saved. I want you to be saved. The church wants you to be saved. If you're a child and you've been in a rebellion against your parents and they're saved, they want you to be saved. People who are saved want other people to be saved because they understand it is the gift of God. We didn't work for it. We don't deserve it. We could never earn it, but God gives it. And so we want to give it freely, just like he does. See? And you can receive it. The Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So trust in the name of Jesus right now. Secondly, I want you to know we must realize that when we are born again, that we must learn everything as a child of the Most High God from his Son, Jesus, who executed everything his Father desired in order to provide all believers of his gospel with everything the need that they need to do the things that God has destined you to do. That's the reason why God saved you. He's going to teach you on the fly what he wants you to do and what purpose you have to fulfill in helping him to execute the things of God through his word. Every word of God will be fulfilled. There will be nothing that's left that's not fulfilled. Now, before I read this last point, I want to share one verse with you, a section. Let's actually three verses out of Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. This they said to Jesus. Then, Matthew 19, 13, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. People were trying to bring children to Jesus, and the disciples said, take those kids away from here. Get them out of here bothering the master. Yeah, get on away from here. You know, the kids were probably in good health, and maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But they were saying, hey, you're bothering the Lord with that. He's got business to do. You know, a lot of people have a sour attitude about what they have. So they were bringing children, and Jesus rebuked them. Told them, stop that. Don't not bring the children. You know, he said, that's something wrong with you. Now, I think this is why you know disciples have to learn. There they were. They've been walking with Jesus for a while. And people bringing children, and they're saying, take those little brats away from here. We ain't got time for them. You know, but we have to learn, saints. We got to learn. And Jesus replies here, verse 14, Matthew 19, 14. But Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me. In other words, permit them. And forbid them not, don't forbid people from coming to Christ, to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. It's also repeated by Luke and Mark, and they say such is the kingdom of God. If you look at Luke and Mark on the same passage. But what I want you to see is we don't want to forbid the children from coming to Christ. Whoever you are, God's arms are open wide. He sent his son for you. If you're a little child, you can be saved. If you're an adult, 75, like Abraham, you can be saved. Doesn't make any difference about your age. Trust Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who God raised from the dead in order to save you. And we want you to come. We want the kingdom to be filled, not with only adults, but also children. And you can be born again at any age, at any time. God wants you to be saved, no matter who you are. And I can say it, from the highest to the lowest in the human strata of the world, no matter who you are, God has made provision for you to be saved. So learning to practice walking life within the spirit of the child is the challenge that every saved person should do in order to have the kind of childlike spirit toward the things of God, which was modeled perfectly by Jesus, the only perfectly obedient child, who is the Prince of Peace, who alone was obedient to God his Father, who also completed every requirement needed for us to be acceptable to his Father, who is now our Father. Hallelujah. When he said pray, he said pray our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And we all say together, amen. Amen. We hope that you are prepared. There's so many more layers to this message that we will take it up again, Lord willing, on Wednesday. And we hope you will plan to join us. Invite a friend, a neighbor, a relative, even an enemy. Invite everybody. You know, you and I got to get our mindset on whosoever will. I think that's where we need to meditate a little bit. Sometimes we think we need to select and pick who God might be talking to. No, he's talking to everybody. And we need to see it that way, in a universal way, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, you see that those two terms, world, that's the whole planet, and whosoever, that's all the people on it. See that? Whosoever believes in him will not perish. That's our good news. And you know, when you receive that good news, God will give you the rest of the news you need, just like he did Jeremiah the prophet. He'll teach you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness, how to handle everything. See, it's comprehensive, and I'm excited about that. Because God has some more things for you and me to do, and he's anxious for us to get on the path and get it done. Amen. So we hope you enjoyed the lesson, this portion of it today. And we pray that you will also take your calendar, pop it open right now, decide to be with us again for the Bible study later on this week. Before I close this session today, I'd like to remind you that we are working on building up our podcast site, which is on the Anchor format and has now been distributed to multiple other formats, Spotify and some others that are out there. So you'll be able to get us on a podcast. This will be like for your through-the-week studies or times when we're not live like we are today, that you can still be receiving feeding from God. We want to make that available to the world 24/7, and we haven't gotten much there yet because we're doing some reproduction for posting right now, but we expect it to be fully online at anchor.fm/Landis-Fisher, and that'll get you to Teaching Bible Radio online. anchor.fm/Landis-Fisher will get you onto our podcast site. So we're going to be adding content to there from the rest of the week here, and probably for months to come, because we have a lot of stuff that has to be edited and posted. So having said that, we're going to go ahead. Our time has broken down, so we pray that you love Jesus as much as you can, and he will teach you to love him more. And at the same time, he will teach you to love me, and he's teaching me to love you, and for us both and all to love each other and others who don't know him. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your Lord's day. Meditate on these things, and I'm sure God will give you greater peace and understanding. May your joy be full to overflowing. May he bless you as you come out and as you go in. May the Lord be with you. Amen.